Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hey, I'm Guy Raz, and on my show, Wisdom from the Top, I talk with CEOs and business leaders about the toughest challenges of their careers.
There's lots of ways to measure success.
Sometimes a company has to bet against itself.
We wanted to set ourselves apart by having a point of view.
Businesses really impact people's lives in pretty fundamental ways.
On Wisdom from the Top, some of the greatest business leaders of our time share their intimate stories of leadership, innovation, and transformation. Stories you won't hear anywhere else. Check out Wisdom from the Top only on Luminary. Now, back to your show.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
How did you not get that?
Come on, man.
I can lift this table.
That's how Red's Rovers roll. That's
what... Hey, wait a second.
Can I just pee over in that pot?
I appreciate your honesty.
I want him to win.
You killed his friend.
Hey, you watered down this wine.
Jack's first impulse is to rush over there.
Got him.
No.
Doran, my son, who had brothers, you know.
You surface dwellers are soft creatures. The terrors that you know are everyday circumstance for us.
Yeah, I buy that.
Welcome back to Dice Shame. This is Season 2, Episode 72, Done Like Dinner.
MVP this week is Weird Alchemy from the Discord, who has just recently caught up. They've been binging the show and enjoying it every step of the way. Thank you so much, Weird Alchemy. This one's for you.
Yeah, thanks.
All right, shall we do this?
Yeah, let's play some D&D.
Party down.
In Gautier Brighthelm's manor, a celebratory dinner is being enjoyed by all. Doran and Gautier share places of honor at the head of the table, while Red sits next to a strange Svirfneblin merchant. Mari and Alistair occupy themselves with the dwarven delicacies on offer, and Jack has entered into a passive-aggressive food fight with one of Gautier's men-at-arms.
Anyway, I'm not really convinced to buy any of this stuff anymore, Svirfneblin friend. I have taken a moment, I have recalibrated my sights, and despite how handsome you are, I feel like we should just enjoy this meal as friends.
That's all right, Red. I don't mind.
Oh, good. You learned my name.
Gotta keep Most of my wares for my travels anyway. I have far to go.
Yeah, where'd you come from? Where did you go? What was your name, Cotton Eye Joe?
My name is Thenduil.
That's right. Where did you come from?
I come from the Underdark.
Oh, we've been there once.
Where we are currently.
Oh, that's right.
Settlement called Genwair.
Whoa, sounds Gaelic.
I come from a region of the Underdark that is translated from Undercommon to be called the Earthroot.
Whoa, that's pretty cool. Do you hear that, Maori?
Yeah, I've never heard of that.
Few surface dwellers know of such a place. Genwair is a small Svirfneblin settlement.
Every word you say, I just drift further and further away from words that I know.
And God's light.
Yes.
Why? So you have a long way to travel? When did you leave home?
Oh, a couple of months ago, I suppose.
You must miss it. Looking to get back there?
No.
Hmm.
No?
No.
No?
Oh.
No way.
There's trouble brewing.
Trouble, you say? Red arches an eyebrow.
Don't tell him that. He's going to make us go there.
Terrible things.
Gautier is getting drunk with Doran. They are drinking.
You mean they're being dwarves?
They're being dwarves. They're drinking from these huge tankards that look like they belong at medieval times from hell. They are toasting each other, and it's getting increasingly rude. Gautier's like,
thank you for coming to my home, Doran. I just wanted to say that you're like the brother I never wanted. You're there.
Listen, you know, Gautier, I do have to tell you. I mean, since I've come all this way, I love you. You're always my favorite cousin. You know.
Come here, Doran.
How the
come
hell?
Come here. I wanna hold your body.
He grabs you around the shoulders.
So cozy around here.
He wrestles you to the ground.
This is fine.
Beer flying everywhere.
They like roll around on the ground, hugging, like kind of rolling.
Yeah,
back
it's
and
like
forth on the ground.
Seeing like dogs playing. Yeah. You're like, are they fighting or are they playing? That's not
yeah,
really
it's
clear.
Not like, yeah. It's just really, really, really close for comfort.
It, Gautier, like rolls out from underneath you and, like, kind of shoves you to the side, and he accidentally stumbles into a leg of the table. And Mari, your chalice, like, gets knocked over. And
come on, man.
But as it happens, she just uses shape water. And before the liquid can hit her outfit, it's sort of like, whoop. Like goes back up and slides
nice.
Back and huh? into the chalice.
Nice.
Hey, you watered down this wine.
Hey, wait a second.
Otherwise, it wouldn't have worked. Yeah. Shaped alcohol.
Valdrique, who's been sitting beside you, Jack, is now like clearly got some kind of vendetta against you. And anytime you go to bring your fork to your mouth, he reaches over with his fork and he's trying to stab the food that's on your fork to take that food for himself. So it's a combat. Every mouthful.
I love the idea every time Jack tries to talk to you, like clears his throat. The guy's like super petty.
<They're>, like, and there's an element too of like, I want him to win, but I want it to make it look like I'm trying. Like I want to like mm-hmm. fake that I'm going for it and let him win a few just to make sure it's, you know, on the level.
He does. Yeah, yeah, yeah. He stabs just this hunk of mushroom off of your fork and gravy goes flying.
Oh, no.
And then sticks it in his mouth and chews really forcefully right at your face.
And then my conid screams.
Yeah, that's the thing. You killed his friend.
I just have a completely off-topic story, but the gravy going flying brought this real visceral memory back when I was a kid. I was Thanksgiving dinner. There was a little tub of gravy. I was sitting beside my grandpa. I put it down right where his elbow would hit when he turned.
On purpose?
No. I don't know. I was done with it. I put it down. He turned to chat with
got
me.
Got you, grandpa.
Slid perfectly off the table. Hit the ground perfectly flat. Oh. The gravy inside, all of it, flew up and hit the ceiling. and then started to drip down onto my grandfather's head. And he's a pretty stern kind of guy, and my dad is across the table trying not to lose his shit and like die laughing. So he gets up, grandma gets up to try and clean it up, and she takes a knife and a plate and starts to scrape the gravy off grandpa's head. And that's when dad flees the room, trying not to like laugh until he's far enough away not to be heard.
That's awesome.
To the day they sold the house, there's a big brown stain on the stucco roof above that part of the table.
That's beautiful. That's
mop it up with a piece of bread.
Yeah. It was just
off grandpa's head.
Yeah.
Mortified.
That's cute.
Oh, man. Poor little Rob.
Good shit.
Anyways.
Trouble brewing, you say? What exactly does that mean? Red says to the Swerf Neblin sitting next to him and Mari.
Genwahir and the surrounding lands are experiencing troubles. The earth root is denizens need to find safer places to live.
Earth root denizens?
Mari's like 2-3 glasses of wine in now. She's loosened up a little bit.
Are you like a gnome, dude?
She's like, what the fuck are you? Like, what is this?
She starts like poking him like a drunk mom, being like, why are you here?
Hey, listen to your name. What's happening?
So whose friend are you again?
I feel like Mari's like the type that'll challenge everybody that she can lift something. Yeah. I can lift. I can lift. I can lift this table.
Are you one of my friends?
That's just me normally.
Things crawling from the deep. Creatures unfamiliar to the Underdark. Far hungrier. More unsettling.
Well, what's causing all this nonsense? Some great upheaval?
He just shrugs.
Are they cool? Are they spooky? What is this?
Yeah, what kind of spooky creatures are you dealing with? We fought some pretty spooky creatures.
I've seen some shit. I've seen some stuff recently.
Yeah, she broke down. She got really angry at me. It was crazy.
Oh, here we go.
You surface dwellers are soft creatures. The terrors that you know are everyday circumstance for us.
Yeah, I buy that.
These things that I speak of are far more treacherous and evil.
Well, now you just got us on the hook.
Yeah. He just like eats a bite of mashed potatoes.
Oh, and Red like looks to Mari like he's being told a spooky story, like, ooh.
I can't wait till he continues after this bite.
She's just like, she's like, wait. So like, is the root thing, is that literal? Is that like a tree root that you live under? Like, what is this? Like,
no, it's like a regional name.
No, I think he's just being vague, you know, like
she's,
the...
She's, no, baby. She's just like, again, she's like a couple glasses of wine and she's
hey,
like...
Hey, Mari, let me top you up.
My favorite part of that is I'm imagining Gautier and Doran still wrestling in the background of that scene.
Yes. Yeah, exactly.
With the fire blazing away. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. The mental image right now of like, you've got Jack getting his food stabbed out of his mouth, basically. You've got two dwarves on the ground wrestling. You've got Mari kind of drunk, just sitting there, just like leaning back in her chair, like, what even are you? And then Red just being like, has anyone ever told you what an absolute looker you are? This like potato man.
Yeah, he's handsome.
Doran sitting back up at the table, now seemingly like everything's back to normal for some reason.
Gautier dusting himself off.
Yeah. Doran pulls the flaky white flesh of the white eel on his plate. He says, I can't believe you've got white eel. This is delicious. Absolutely stunning. I haven't had this for 30 years.
I guess as Chancellor, you have some kind of pull around here. And I wanted to pull out all the stops for you because I rarely get to host family, you know?
Well.
So.
And he claps Gautier on the back. You have pulled out all of the stops. So thank you very much, Gautier. It is so lovely to be able to bring my friends to a place like this.
Gautier stands then from his seat, grasping this oversized tankard of dwarvish ale, and looks around to the faces at the table, and he says,
I just wanted to take a minute to say thanks to each and every one of you for making your way to my household, whether you're part of my staff.
And he nods at his men-at-arms.
Or if you've made your way here through the Underdark, carrying all your goods and trying to find a safer place for yourself.
He nods at the Swerf Neblin.
or if you're accompanying my cousin as his retinue, guards or whatever y'all are, adventuring folk, or if you're family. If it's been quite some time, you know, it's always good to make good with each other after decades have gone by. So thank ye, all of ye, for being here tonight. It's been a really special occasion.
What is he asking? What? Red turns to Mari. He's like, did he ask us a question?
To family.
Yes, to family.
She just holds the glass up. It's empty.
Doran raises his tankard and gives Red a look. Kind of like, pay attention, please. Cheers, Red.
Red's had his like snout in a glass of wine.
It's just the vapors, really. It's such a sensitive nose.
Shall we retire then to the sitting room for a little while before we head up to bed?
Oh, yes.
I'm definitely looking
forward to some sitting.
We're already sitting.
And a few more brews.
I wait till there's one bite left on Voldrick's plate and try and steal it.
Mm-hmm. Nice. Yeah.
Roll a sleight of hand for me, please.
Can Red secretly aid? Like, I'm imagining he sees Jack poised and Red stands up real nonchalant because Red hasn't really been drinking that much, or at least he's not affected by it that much tonight. And I kind of imagine Red like turning his back to the guy and like accidentally bumping him at the second that Red goes for it to like aid in the sleight of hand without even Jack really knowing.
Yeah, mechanically, since you're within melee range, you can help Jack on your turn.
I just want to like bump the dude to distract him.
You can roll your sleight of hand with advantage, Jack.
20.
Nice.
Yeah.
Jack, you get in there with your fork. Absolutely.
Oh, sorry, man. I didn't mean to bump into you.
Yeah, he just turns back and his plate's empty. That's the...
And he looks around between Jack and Red, and both of you are already getting up from the table. Yeah.
God, what a good dinner. I'm so full. I feel like I ate two meals.
And Red's like, oh, sorry, sorry. And he like winks to Jack. The way like a grandpa winks to you, you know what I mean? When he like makes an inside joke and he's kind of like, oh, sorry, Jack. And he walks away.
That guy's going to shit in your bed.
Wait, Abed.
Yeah, Mari looks at the two man at arms and she just sort of like gives them finger guns and then leaves.
Nice.
That's how Red's rovers roll. That's
kind of a mess.
I think Red will head over to Gautier and kind of like cut him off.
I love that you're pronouncing his name like it's Gautier. Like it's a French Canadian. Gautier.
Is that not it?
Gautier.
Like Icelandic.
G-O-T-I-R. But
whatever.
No,
Red
but
says,
when you say it, it Gautier? Sounds so much more like...
Gautier?
Gautier.
Gautier.
Gooter.
Gautier.
Red actually heads over. As everyone heads to the sitting room, he heads over to Gautier and like kind of intercepts him a little bit. Not really drinking that much, just being the regular kind of stupid Red he is. He's like, hey, thanks so much for having us. I really, really appreciated it.
Of course, Red. Red, right? Yes.
Yeah, Red. Hey, say, where's your bathroom down on this level? I don't want to go all the way back upstairs. And he points to, like, a door. He's like, what's this? The bathroom here?
That's just the entrance to the kitchen.
And this one?
Well, that's my personal offices.
Okay, well, what about, can I just pee over in that pot?
Well, no. If you don't mind just going up to your rooms.
All right, fine, fair enough. Hey, gorgeous rooms, by the way.
Thank you.
Well, I'll meet you over there in a second. And Red heads upstairs to the bathrooms.
Cool, cool. As the men-at-arms lead Jack, Mari, and Alistair off to the sitting room, Gautier kind of takes your elbow, Doran, and leads you to the fireplace and hands you a fresh cup. And seems like he wants just a minute with you by yourself.
Doran accepts and takes a big gulp of it.
Gautier, it's nice to finally have a few moments. Just you and I to catch up.
It is, Doran, yes.
And Gautier sort of swirls his cup and looks into the fire. And you see the light dancing across his craggy face. He looks serious. He turns to his left to give you kind of a three-quarter profile, just acknowledging you standing there for a second, and then looks back into the fire. And nods, and he says,
Doran, there's no easy way to say this. So I'm just going to come right out and say it. I've never been one for diplomacy, although now that I have a role as Chancellor here in the city, I've had to learn. But I feel like between us, it's always been straightforward. So that's why it's so hard to say.
Doran looks Gautier in the eyes and he says, I'd expect nothing less, my friend. Please, tell me whatever's on your mind.
He puts his hand on your shoulder and he says,
Doran, there's no rock plague. And I wanted to tell you at dinner, but not in front of your friends, because this is an Iron Fist matter. I wanted to give you some grace. Doran, I've been helping your mother as she's ailing, and, well, when Jolgas came and said that you were making your way here, Doran, she doesn't want to see you. And I just wanted to break it to you gently.
Doran finishes his tankard of ale pretty quickly. I mean, there's a gulp or two left.
Gautier, you know, I don't envy the position that you're in here. And I want to thank you for your honesty and for telling me the truth here today, as hard as it is for you and as hard as it is for me to hear it. I just need some time. But I don't think I'm that surprised.
Listen. I still think it's important for you to see her because of how she's not doing so well. So I've been thinking, you know, when you and your friends were up in your chambers, that I would speak to her tomorrow morning and plead your case for her, and maybe I could convince her to see you. You know, would you let me do that on your behalf?
Doran turns to Gautier and he puts his hand on your shoulder and he says,
Gautier, tell my mother that I came here to see her, to try and make amends. But I won't ask you to beg her. I won't ask you to push for me to see her. If she doesn't want to see me, I don't want to see her. And I don't mean that from a position of being petty. I don't want to push her to her death if she doesn't want to see me. And I fear that that could happen, you know.
Give me a chance, Doran.
Look, I guess all I'm saying is, sure, please, talk to her. Tell her I want to see her, but if she doesn't, I mean, you should know, Gautier, it's not the end of the world. I've always loved my mother, of course, but it's been a long time since we haven't seen eye to eye. I reckon it's been at least 70 years or so since I've seen her. Well, shit.
But I know that she loves you deep down. Perhaps while I'm gone tomorrow, you might want to visit your family's gravesite.
I'm glad you mentioned it. I had planned on it.
I thought as much.
They haven't moved the cemetery, have they?
They would not dare. Wouldn't dare do such a thing.
Ghouls will get you.
Yeah.
The necromancer's been here.
I'm sure it's been many years since you've been able to properly pay your respects. Anyway, I'm sorry to bring down such an occasion.
Like I said, Gautier, I appreciate your honesty, and I think that's all I could ask for at this stage. You know, maybe the next time I come back, you'll regale me about how you swindled your way into being chancellor.
Oh, Doran.
You know, but with this news, I think it's best if I make my way to bed. It's been a long journey to get here, and honestly, it's been a long time since I've had a sleep in a bed that looks like that one. So, excuse me. I imagine you'll let my friend stay up as late as they'd like.
Of course.
And he claps you on the back and he says,
sleep well, Doran.
You too, Gautier.
And Doran leaves the room and kind of waves. He doesn't really catch anybody's attention. He just kind of waves. And for those of you who are looking, he gives a wave. And otherwise, he's gone.
Gautier watches you leave, Doran. Looks into the fire for another minute. Shakes his head. And then moves to join your friends in the sitting room.
Red's coming back downstairs as he sees Doran heading up. Oh, where are you going, bud? Doran?
Doran's on his phone. He doesn't notice.
He's on his phone again.
Doran.
Doran, get off your phone.
Doran's playing Angry Birds.
And
he's got his favorite rock he's staring at.
I'm just tired, Red. I'm going to bed. I'll see you in the morning.
Oh.
Look, stay up. Gautier said the place is yours to have a little bit of fun, so relax, all right?
Okay. You don't want to talk, do you?
No. It's nothing. Don't even worry yourself about it. Honestly, buddy.
Okay. All right. And Red sort of like gives you like a half hug hand, you know, where he kind of like goes to grab your hand, but you've already turned, and he just kind of like keeps it there for a second, and he's like,
yeah. Doran, having already turned, kind of gives a walking away hug back, but is like so deep in his own thoughts, he's not worried too much about it.
And Red heads down the stairs back into the dining room, and he sees Gautier and the others off in the room where they're sitting and laughing loudly, and he sort of stops for a second, and his eyes fall over the office again, and he remembers earlier today when he met Gautier and he rolled insight on him and sort of sensed a vibe of jealousy and like something was off. And he turns back to see Doran kind of gone now and thinks about him for a second. And seizing the opportunity, Red slips across the dining room and slides into the office.
Roll a stealth check for me, Red.
Absolutely. I'm going to use my inspiration.
Hey, all right.
Beautiful. Inspiration used.
That is 21.
Reggie moves stealthily across the hallway and enter the offices of Gautier Brighthelm. They're well kept. There is some nice art on the walls, some tapestries that look reminiscent of those that are in the sitting room, a couple of more abstract pieces. And there's a tidy desk with neat piles of paperwork on top. Looks like the chancellor does a lot of his rote work here.
Red just sort of silently pads around the room, runs his fingertips on a few books, sees if anything jumps out in terms of maybe like a ledger or... any sort of like thing that would catch his eye. And then if nothing does, he sort of slowly starts to open some of the drawers, and he's looking for anything, I guess, that would sort of indicate maybe this guy isn't on the up and up in terms of his like trading, you know, something that might give him cause to be acting a little shifty or weird.
Yeah. Okay. You leaf through some books.
Yeah, and Red's like, I don't know what any of this means.
Yeah. There are like figures and names, lots of dwarven names that you don't recognize. Seems like there are forms here that detail taxation and, I mean, it's all very, very boring for you.
Yeah, Red's like, oh my God.
Inside the drawers, much the same. A lot of paperwork, some spare quills, and then you find some correspondence, some letters, and then the name Iron Fist catches your eye.
Red picks it up, sort of turns it in his hand, reads the title.
Mm-hmm. It's an envelope that is addressed to whom it may concern. At the Scarborough Council from one Doreen Ironfist.
Interesting.
Oh, shit.
Red reads it. He quietly opens it and just scans the letter.
The letter is in tight, neat handwriting.
Oh, it being dwarven. I don't speak dwarven.
So Red sees this letter and he's like, damn. And he folds it. Does anyone in this party speak Dwarven besides Doran?
Normally Jack would be able to comprehend languages, but I'm not sure he's up to that at the moment.
Oh, right. Or maybe it's in common. I don't know. Like, is everyone in this town Dwarven and that's that? I guess I'm assuming it's Dwarven. You didn't say that. Sorry.
It would be in Dwarven. So the tight, neat handwriting, Dwarven runes that you can't decipher. But again, at the bottom of the letter, in common script, the name Doreen Ironfist is the sender of this letter.
Red folds the letter back up and tucks it into his coat. And then he goes to leave, and then he stops. And he turns around and he heads back to the books on the shelf. And he looks for a Dwarven to Common dictionary.
Oh, that's really cute. Let me roll to see if there is
I think
one.
It's funny how you think there would be.
Why not?
Like, he's got a Becherel.
Good pull. I mean,
I kind of love the idea of Red staying up all night doing letter by letter of this letter. Right?
Because that's how languages work.
Whatever, Jack. God.
Yeah, I was going to say, imagine it, like, if you did that, it still doesn't make any sense.
Word by word, fine.
You don't find a dictionary per se, but you do find, like, an atlas whose annotations are done both in common and dwarvish. So you're going to potentially be able to use that and your sturdy intelligence to put together some of the words in this letter.
Red pulls the heavy book out and holds it and, like, sighs so heavily. He's like... And again, he, like, looks towards the direction Doran went upstairs, looks towards the letter and the homework he has to do. And he's like, for Doran. And he leaves the office and starts heading back upstairs. And he's like, I'm turning in. Good night. And then just, like, scampers upstairs like a kid running from the dark.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like he's going to get halfway through it, and it's like, had brothers, you know.
Doran and brothers. God damn it.
That's good, that's good.
Doran, my son, who had brothers, you know.
Awesome. My sons.
Back in the sitting room, Gautier Brighthelm is showing off his tapestries. The one of them that he's explaining to you, Jack, is like...
Oh, it's meant to appear on initial inspection as like abstract, but when you get close, you can see here that it's like an exploded view of a minecart.
Oh!
You can see all the different
wheels
here, the axles, and the other mechanisms here. So it's a mechanical diagram, but... Really, when you get into it, the artistry is...
I mean, the way it all fits together is beautiful in and of itself, and the rendering in this tapestry. Wow.
I'm glad that you're an art appreciator.
I mean, I do my best. I've always had a fascination with you know, the work of other cultures I'm not familiar with and all that. Yeah. So what's this one then?
Oh, this one is just a big rock.
Oh, you know,
how did you not get that? Mari's at the back of the room.
That's She's hilarious. Just...
That one's my Swerf Neblin friend's face.
Well, I mean, it looked like one of those, you know, do you think there's any like fossils or anything inside it? Or is it just a favorite rock?
No, this one's just my favorite rock. Mm. I mean, it's very big. As you can see,
Mari's sitting at the back. She's just watching this and she just goes, nerd, like from a distance.
Throwing popcorn at him.
When I tell you, on a dig, this kind of rock, it's the one that sets you back a couple of days. Nobody loves to see it, that's for sure. But I can see why it'd be special.
The Myconid has made its way down from Jack and Red's room and is like sitting on the stone beside you, Mari, and just kind of grooving.
Kicking its legs.
Yeah.
Yeah. And she's very tickled by it. She just sort of like gives it a little like tickle with her finger. Like it's very cute and she likes it.
He does not like being tickled. It's very clear.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry. And she offers a little bit of her glass, and her glass, it looks like wine, but when she moves her hand, the color changes again. She's drinking water now. She switched over.
good.
Smart.
But she's just made it look like wine, so it looks like she's still just kind of partying, and so no one bothers her about it. But she's like, it's water, it's fine. Like, if you'd like anything.
Yeah.
There's pieces of mushroom you ate with dinner on it.
Oh my god, my brothers.
I had brothers, you know.
My whole colony.
You ate them.
They take a little sip from the rim of your wine glass, and it's heart-wrenchingly adorable. And
it's so cute.
Below you all, through this beautiful vista of windows, you can see the lights in Scarborough starting to dim and twinkle and change as the citizens start to observe the falling of night. The shafts of sunlight that were once coming in through these skylight ports in the cavern have turned to like a dim starlight, and the city's kind of starting to fall asleep.
Mari like looks over at Gautier and Jack talking, and like as soon as like Gautier like catches her eye, she just sort of looks over at him and she's like, so what's the deal with the rock plague? Is that like a thing that like only dwarves can get, or like, because like I got some like healing magic and stuff. Like, it's kind of, you know, it's like a little hit or miss recently. And she kind of like doesn't make eye contact with Alistair, who she has not really had a conversation yet with.
Oh, poor Alistair.
Alistair's standing at the window with his arms folded behind his back, just looking out. And he like turns and kind of pierces you with a look and then goes back to regarding the city.
Yeah, you can see a flush sort of on her face for a moment. She's like, because like I can do some sort of like healing magic. Like, I know Doran's mom's not doing great, so I could go down there. Like, if it doesn't if it doesn't affect like non-dwarves.
You know what? Why don't you talk to Doran about that?
All right. Like, I mean, like, but you know, if we go down there, it's fine. Is it just like, what's the deal? Is it a skin condition? Is it airborne?
Mari, I'm not a doctor, so I can't talk to you about like whether that's gonna affect different races or species or whatever. Honestly, I don't know what you are.
Oh no.
Or how like your biology is like similar or dissimilar to dwarves. So
he's like tapping his hands a little bit distractedly on the table beside him.
Can I run a perception check on him?
Perceive this.
I mean, you would want to roll an insight.
Sorry, an
not
insight.
A perception
but,
check.
I'm dumb. Okay. 15.
Yeah, he seems pretty uncomfortable right now. And he obviously is being truthful about not knowing shit about rock plague.
Which feels weird if it's something that is affecting this whole area and he is like the leader of it, and
definitely
that doesn't really make a lot of sense. Why would you not know what it is if this is a thing that's affecting your people? You would have something. So that sort of twigs something in the back of her head through the cloud of wine. She's like, that's weird, and she just kind of settles back in the chair and kind of kicks her legs over the arm of it and just sort of sits there awkwardly in this chair, just like too spread, too comfortable looking in a space that she should not be in.
Well, folks, the night is wearing thin, and I promised Doran that I would go on an errand early tomorrow morning, so I bid you good night, and please feel free to stay up as late as you like. Obviously, my drink cabinet is your drink cabinet. There's a saying in Dwarven for that, but doesn't translate to common very well.
Well, I appreciate it, yeah.
I think I'm ready to turn in. Jack, you sticking down here?
Yeah, I might stay here for a little bit. And Jack reaches into his pouch and he pulls out a little sack of like candy he's been saving, like candied fruit and stuff he's been saving from Waterdeep, and goes to sit kind of near Voldrick and sets it down in easy thieving range, just trying like as a peace offering, but not trying to say anything about it. I'll have one more drink. You go to bed.
All right. Mari heads on up, but is a little unsettled by Gautier's lack of knowledge of this very, what should be something straightforward.
Your last look at the sitting room is of this dwarf giving Jack the most evil side eye and reaching his hand into a little sack of candied plums and grabbing one. And then you go up the stairs.
Good luck, Jack.
Jack really specifically turns away from Voldrick and says, sorry, I didn't catch your name, to the other man at arms who came into them.
Yeah, you're so rude, dude. I was sitting here the whole time.
Got him.
Jack, when you finally do retire for the night, you open the door to see...
Red is like sitting in the far corner, cross-legged with like a book in his lap and another book in front of him and a letter to the side and like a candle to his side, and his like hands are on his chin and he's like muttering to himself and like pointing. He's like, I've got to go to this one. But no, that's not what he meant. Is that what he meant? That's not what he meant.
Jack's first impulse is to rush over there, and he reaches for the magic inside himself, like, oh, this is a comprehend language problem. I know exactly how to do this. And as he starts to like pluck the strings of the weave and feel it pull together, they almost like rub raw against those weird scars on his hands for a minute. And he stops himself and goes and crawls into bed on one side, trying to leave room for Red on one part of it and shove Alistair over a little bit.
Yeah, fair enough.
Jack, as you shove Alistair over, his eyes are open and he rolls over to accommodate you in bed. And maybe he sees you like consider the scars on your hands for a second. And he's like,
you know, I can read one of those.
I mean, I guess it's this one, he says, holding up his left hand with the gnomish on it.
It says bound, Jack. Good night.
Jack has a long, hard time falling asleep.
Thank you to our wonderful patrons, Adam Fry, Afflicted Adina, Aizu Yukai, Allison Wrights, Alistair, Anne, Atholagoff, Axel, Barry Jennett, Casey, Cecil Lee Wilson, Sherry Rose Anderson, Christopher, Colin Burkhart, Crow, Daniel, Dippity, Flynn, Gareth Bradshaw, Haley, Hop of the Mox, JD, Joy Robinson, Julie Holderman, Jury, KR, KM, Cade, Lasagna, Last Ruth on the Left, Lita J, Liz, Lorelei Feldman, Manda Pants, Merrick Smoon, Matilda Rushing, Melinda Curley, Moon, Oakland, Quill Bennett, Regan, Ren, Scotty, Shannon Waldner, S-Ray 96, Tegan, Tea Kettle, Tony Pepperoni, Trin, Waffle 427, Xander Morning Dove, Zach House, and Zephyrus. Thank you so much! Woo!
And Gautier turns to you and he puts his hand on your
Doran
shoulders.
Doran turns to you.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, Doran turns to Gautier and he puts his hand on your shoulder and he looks at you, each of us, with our hands on each other's shoulders.
Both says, hands on shoulders. Dwarves looking at each other.
More hands everywhere.
Just.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, marketers. Want a matchmaker to set you up with your perfect audience? Well, look no further. Get intimate right away with Host Red sponsorships with ACAST. Use ACAST's self-serve ad platform to search and partner up with a podcaster or two from our network of more than 100,000 shows. Have them sing your praises in their own words. And get their listeners ready to be wooed into loyal customers. It's the ultimate loving endorsement. Book Host Red sponsorships with Acast. Head to go.acast.com/closer to get started.